Hello and welcome to the Kitchen Table Theology Podcast, where each week, Pastor Jeff Cranston explores biblical theology that provides practical life applications in an understandable way. Thanks for joining us at the table. Let's get started.
Hello and welcome to Kitchen Table Theology. I'm your host, Tiffany Coker. Along with my dad, Pastor Jeff Cranston, we're seeking to not only help you know deep, solid biblical theology, but to know the Word of God and the promises of God that are given to us in His Word. And to do that, we are currently working our way through a Bible overview series. Before we jump into that, Dad, I have some exciting news of yours that I'm going to share with everyone. You have a new booklet that just came out. It is on Amazon. So Kitchen Table Theologian, you can find it. It is entitled, The King Has One More Move. If you're listening along with us live, I guess in real time, that we celebrated Easter a couple weeks ago. Easter is a big deal in church world. It is a great opportunity. And Dad, I love that each Easter, you do take the opportunity to share the gospel with everyone who comes to, maybe it's their first time to visit church, but you introduce them to Jesus on Easter Sunday. And the message this year that you entitled, The King Has One More Move, is a great introduction to the gospel. You've woven some great stories in there using the painting with the chess player. And I just love that whole story. So Kitchen Table Theologian, I encourage you to go ahead and grab a copy. It's on Amazon, $5. I will link it for you in the show notes. But Dad, I'm excited for that for you.
Yeah, thanks. It's by booklet, we mean booklet. It's 20, 21 pages long. It's not large at all, but it's something I've been wanting to put in print for quite a while. And we got it out in time for this Easter. And so Kitchen Table Theologians, if you would like one, just head on over to Amazon. And you can also go to Amazon and just type my name in the search bar. And my other two books, along with this one, will immediately pop up. Or you can use the link that we will provide you in the episode notes today. Tiff, I wonder, as we begin today, how all of us might answer God if He came to us and came to each one of us and asked, what would you like me to give you? I hesitate even saying that because it sort of sounds like the genie in the bottle question.
Right.
But there really was a time when God went to an individual and said, what would you like me to give you? And I wonder how I would answer that, how you would answer that, Kitchen Table Theologian, how you would answer that. But as I said, we do know of one time that happened, and we know how that individual responded. And today, hopefully, we're going to reap some of the benefits of God answering that question for him.
Yes, Kitchen Table Theologian, if you've missed the last couple of weeks, we've been a little bit all over the place. Dad, you had a great interview with Charlotte Clay from the Museum of the Bible in D.C. We touched on Hebrews a couple of weeks ago. You did a bonus episode last week when I was off, so thanks for that. But today we're jumping back in. We're in the Old Testament, and you maybe have guessed it. We're going to be talking about Proverbs, and Solomon is who you're referring to there. So like the Psalms, it is a large book, not quite as big as Psalms, but today we'll hopefully just hit some of the high points and give you a little bit of a feel for this incredible book, which is filled with so much wisdom, so many things that we can learn. So, Dad, let's start where we always do, with the basics. Who wrote the book, and do you know when it was written?
Well, yeah, yes, and sort of. We do have a very large Old Testament book in front of us today in Proverbs, and probably one of the most appreciated books, one of the most loved books, just filled with wisdom and guidance for life. So like Psalms, Proverbs credits several people as the authors in its various sections. It has a few different sections to it. Solomon was especially suited to be the main writer of this collection because of all the sage counsel, all the wisdom. Solomon is described in 1 Kings 3 as begging God for wisdom after God asked him the question. He begged God for wisdom. That's how he answered the question. What would you like me to give you? Solomon said, wisdom to govern over Israel. And we know God ultimately granted that prayer. So Solomon claimed to be the author of most of the book. His name appears at the beginning of three distinct sections, and those sections begin with verse 1 of chapter 1. Chapter 10, verse 1, chapter 25, verse 1. So chapter 1 begins a section, chapter 10, chapter 25 begin various sections. And those sections cover almost all of the first 29 chapters of the book. And it was Solomon that, when asked by God what he would like, as I said, answered wisdom. And just a tiny background, in a dream, God said to Solomon, ask what I should give you. And Solomon, modestly, when you think of all the things he could have asked, the Bible says he requested an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. That's what he asked for. And God granted him his request, and we're the better for it.
So we can see as we read through the book that Solomon really claims authorship over a lot of this in Proverbs. And you mentioned those three verses, chapter 1, chapter 10, chapter 25. So I'm just going to read those for us so you guys can hear how he claims his authorship. Chapter 1, verse 1 reads, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel." Chapter 10 is introduced as "The Proverbs of Solomon." And then in chapter 25, verse 1, it says, "These are the Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, transcribed."
So there's another very short section in Proverbs 22 where it says that these writings are, quote, "the words of the wise," which Solomon may have compiled, therefore, from various sources. Evidence that Solomon drew on multiple sources, it appears in Proverbs 24:23. Tiff, maybe you would please read that for us.
"Here are some further sayings of the wise. It is wrong to show favoritism when passing judgment."
So in that verse, Solomon used the plural noun in the Hebrew for wise. It's also translated as sages, S-A-G-E-S. And it's describing the authors or the people who had input into that section. Mm-hmm. Dr. Alan Ross in the Expositor's Bible Commentary, he suggests it's possible that God inspired Solomon to record that section based on wise sayings that he had been exposed to all throughout his life, as we all are, and that maybe Solomon took some of those and he brought those into what we have as the book of Proverbs. The final two chapters, chapters 30 and 31 of the book, they identify two other authors. So chapter 30, the author is described as a man called Agur or Agur, A-G-U-R, and chapter 31, Lemuel, Lemuel. The identities of these two guys are mysterious, and so far, they're lost to history. We don't really know who they are. We don't know anything about them. Now, the critic might say Proverbs shouldn't be the only proof of Solomon's authorship, and guess what? It's not. So we go back to 1 Kings 4:32. We read that Solomon wrote 300 Proverbs and more than 1,000 songs, 1,005 to be exact. So this gift of wisdom God granted him has been passed down to us in the book of Proverbs, and we are all the wiser if we read and heed what Solomon teaches. I think that's a good phrase to remember when you come to any book of the Bible, but especially Proverbs. Read and heed. Read it and then do what it says. Pay attention to it.
So most of the Proverbs are attributed to King Solomon, who was David's son. And in that way, I think we can say that he's very much like his father. Most of the Psalms relate David as the principal author, and the same is true with Solomon and Proverbs. Yet they're very, very different books. We tend to view Psalms as a devotional book, while Proverbs is maybe more of a practical guide, containing wisdom, ethics, things like that. So, Dad, you said you maybe know when the book of Hebrews, what am I talking about? When the book of Proverbs was written? Give us some insight on that.
Look, I'm already confused enough with all this. Don't confuse me even more. Yeah, when the book was written, that's one of the most difficult questions about the book. So its very strong association with Solomon means that almost all of the contents of the book were completed prior to his death. We know that he died around 931 BC, so almost 1,000 years before Christ. The book clearly stayed in the southern kingdom, which was Judah, because one of the verses you read in chapter 25 said Hezekiah's men compiled Solomon's Proverbs. Well, Hezekiah was the king of Judah. So this indicates likely the book reached its final form before the end of Hezekiah's reign, and that happened around 699 BC. So we're talking about when it was completed, almost 700 years before the time of Jesus. So that's when they were compiled, but they had already been around for about 300 years prior to them being compiled into one book.
All right. Since we've been discussing Solomon, maybe a little background on who he was might be helpful for some of us here. I'm going to guess that maybe most of us have heard of Solomon. We just mentioned that he was David's son, but I wonder how much we really know about him. So give us some things we need to know about Solomon.
Yeah, good idea. So let me just give you some bullet points, some very quick facts on Solomon. There's a lot we do know about him. We know that as a young man, he had an almost unquenchable thirst for knowledge. We know that he became a literary prodigy of the world in his day. We know his intellectual achievements were the wonder of his age. We know that kings came from the ends of the earth to hear him and meet with him. We know that he lectured and wrote on everything from botany to zoology. We know that he was a scientist, a businessman with vast enterprises. He was a king, a political ruler. He was a poet, he was a moralist, and he was a preacher. And he was also one of the wealthiest individuals that our world has ever seen. And it goes without saying, and it's even made it into the lexicon of our English phraseology, and I'm sure other languages as well, when you hear somebody say, oh, that person was as wise as Solomon. It's that he was, outside of Christ and Adam before the fall, the wisest, smartest man who ever lived.
And really, other than all that, I guess he didn't do much.
No.
That was quite the list, but that is helpful and gives us a little bit of background on Solomon. It makes me want to read up on him a little bit and find out more. One other thing before we get to the theological cookies here, I thought maybe it would be good for you to tell us what a proverb is. I know we hear that word, but I'm not convinced I have a right definition in my head. So maybe that's other people have that same question. What exactly is a proverb?
Yeah, that's a good idea. A proverb, simply put, especially as it applies to this book, is a short, pithy saying. Dr. Henry Haley, in his Bible handbook, he says this: a proverb is a form of teaching utilizing antithesis and comparison, repetition of practical thoughts in the form that would stick in the mind. So I'll give you a couple of examples. You see comparison and antithesis. So folly, this is Proverbs 15:21. Folly is a joy to him who lacks sense, but a man of understanding walks straight. There's some comparison. Here's antithesis, which is simply contrasting opposites. Proverbs 14:16, sort of along the same lines as comparison, teaches us a wise man is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is arrogant and careless. And so you have this the opposite of the fool and the wise man. And in both cases, we see contrast and antithesis. Those are hallmarks of what makes up a good proverb.
Okay, great. As we start to end this and bring this to a close today, can you share with us some of the main theological themes of Proverbs? And good luck here, because you have just a couple minutes left. So pull out the theme of Proverbs.
Yeah, well, obviously, there are so many ideas and concepts and warnings and themes throughout the book. And this book is rather unique in Scripture, I think, in that it isn't organized in any discernible manner, which is really appealing to some people who live their lives like that. But these are sayings and warnings and cautions and wisdom about how life works, or how life should work. And it keeps bringing up recurring themes. So theologically, we're getting themes constantly about wisdom, relationships within the family, relationships between a married couple. We're getting teachings on money, the speech we use, our work. There's a lot in here about pride. There's a lot in here about blessing. So the book has no real outline to speak of. And the closest we come to that are the sections that are defined for us by the author. But theologically, I think it's the most helpful to us if we would think of all of Proverbs as wise counsel for living a good, God-honoring life. That, to me, is the ultimate theological theme. It's wise counsel for living a good, God-honoring life. Because we all face life choices. We face decisions. We struggle with the battle between good and evil within our own hearts. We are often tempted to choose wisdom or folly. And there are problems that crop up in life. And Proverbs, as you read through it, helps us discern the right path. I tried to find it, but when I was preparing for the podcast, but I couldn't. But last week, I read the testimony of a woman who had been an atheist all her life, an atheist in an academic setting, and she was preparing to do some writing on her atheism. And I think, if memory serves, even engage a Christian in a debate of some sort. And she said, it dawned on me that everything I believed about atheism and I believed about what I perceived Christianity to be, it was just all hearsay, that I hadn't really dove in to a proper study of the Christian faith. And I really appreciate that intellectual honesty with her. And so she said, I picked up a Bible and I began reading Proverbs. And she said, I thought this book was just fairy tales and it had no relevancy to life in the 21st century. And she said, I was absolutely blown away by the wisdom that Proverbs was downloading into my life. Well, one thing led to another. She eventually turns her life over to Christ and she's a thoroughgoing Christian today. So
that's
awesome. that wisdom led her to following Jesus. So I think Kitchen Table Theologian, and I'll stop with this. When you start to read the book of Proverbs, read it as wise words from a father to a son or a daughter. And much of it is written from a father to a son. But if you're a daughter, I think it's perfectly acceptable to view it that way. We have, when you read Proverbs, you and I, we have a front row seat in how Solomon, the wisest man to ever live, lived his life, and he tells us to live ours. And again, these are inspired, inerrant words of God to us. And if we heed those words, we will reach the end of our time on this planet having lived a good life. Just remember, these are not stories or promises so much as they're sayings, and they're rooted in experience and wisdom on how life works, on what happens in life, on how to handle situations in life. So I would just counsel you to read each proverb by itself, ponder the wisdom, and determine how these things, with God's help, can best be applied in your very own life.
I love that. Proverbs is wise counsel for living a good, God-honoring life. Dad, thanks so much for sharing that with us today. Kitchen Table Theologian, thank you for listening. If you are enjoying the podcast, we would really appreciate if you would take just a second to leave a rating or review on iTunes. We really do appreciate your help in getting the word out. You can check out today's episode notes and more at jeffcranston.com, and we will link Dad's new booklet for you there. You can also email us anytime. It is pastorjeff@lowcountrycc.org. As always, thanks are due to our friends here at Low Country Community Church in Bluffton, South Carolina, and at Streamline Podcasts for making this podcast possible. Next week, Lord willing, we will be back continuing our Bible overview series in the New Testament, this time with a look at the book of James. Until then, always remember, the real power of theology is not only knowing it, but applying it. Thanks for joining us at the table.
You've been listening to the Kitchen Table Theology Podcast with Pastor Jeff Cranston. Join us next time for more insights into biblical truth. If you'd like to know more on today's topic, please check out our show notes. If you have a question from today's podcast, kindly email us at pastorjeff@lowcountrycc.org. If you're enjoying this podcast, would you consider leaving a rating and review? We deeply appreciate your help in getting the word out. And be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or in your favorite podcasting app to continue this journey with us as we learn about and apply God's word to our lives. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time here at Kitchen Table Theology.